Good. Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for watching tonight. This is Rock Solid Faith, and it's a little echoey because it's a quiet room. I want to remind you that we were supposed to have the Empower Summit this week, and because of all this stuff going on, we didn't want to bring our speakers in and put them in a position where they couldn't get home. And so we wanted to make sure that they were able to be there, be with their families. There you go, young man. And so what's happened is we are now going to go live on this so that you can participate. Now, also, I want to remind you that tomorrow, well, I can't remind you because you didn't know, but tomorrow night, every Monday through Thursday, my wife and I are going to be spending some time with you on Facebook Live. And from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock every night. We'll start tomorrow night. So I want to make sure that you're here tomorrow night, not in the building, but right on Facebook. You're going to be able to talk with us, communicate with us. We're going to share with you some things that are great, what God is doing. And people keep asking me, are we having church on Sunday? Yes. Until we are told we cannot have church, we will have church. There are no restrictions for us at this period of time. And so, I got to turn myself down. We want to make sure I'm going to go to a watch party. There we go. So that we have no restrictions as a church. So we will be having church on Sunday. Actually, starting to get calls coming in. People that don't go to this church. I had a lady today from another church call and start rebuking us for having church. And I want you to know that my God is bigger than any disease. I almost heard an amen, but I didn't. My God is bigger than any virus. Amen. Amen. God is able. And my Lord, my Bible says that, excuse me. I just keep looking at the donuts on the front seat and getting hungry. So it's important that we know that God is able to do abundantly above all we could even ask or imagine. Jacqueline, Kelly, Dodie, Chris, how are you? Sue Cleary, how are you, Sue? Donna Varies on. Who else is on here? Alyssa, how are you? Let me see. Shannon, Suzette, Paul, Serena, Rita. Let me see. Who else? Very good. Hello. How are you, Dodie? Also, Kelly. So we want to get going. Tonight, we're going to cover covenants. We're going to start. This is a 2 or 3 weeker because it is so important. Now, We believe in covenants at this church, that God is a covenant God. Now, with that is understanding how covenants work and how covenants are participating in your life when we're talking about the kingdom of God. The Bible says, and you've heard me say this verse 1,000 times, the Bible declares that we are to seek God's kingdom first. But to understand God's kingdom means we have to understand how God works. God works through covenants. He works through how he plans and he's covenant with us. What is a covenant? A covenant is a contract. It is an agreement. And God has cut a covenant with you and I. Now, what's really interesting is that in the old days, if you shook somebody's hand, their word was their bond. Or if you made an agreement, you didn't need to sit down and write down on a piece of paper or sign a piece of paper a covenant or a contract, but their word was their bond. But in today's world, we live differently. Can everybody say amen? A covenant doesn't mean much to people these days. A contract doesn't mean much to people these days. You know, we can even look at this in the wedding principle. You know, George Barna, who's the church statistician, had did a study on born-again Christians who are not evangelicals, were undistinguishable between the national average of regular Christians. In fact, even in the divorce rate, 33% were married and divorced at least once among all the born-again Christians, which includes evangelicals. The divorce figure is 32%, which is statistically identical to the 33% figure amongst non-born-again people, which is showing what? It's showing that the understanding of a contract or a covenant is the same to the world as it is to the church. Well, that's a problem. Because if our God is a covenant God, and we don't live in covenant understanding, in covenant principles, then what happens is there's no way that we're going to stay within the covenant realm, therefore stay within the blessings of the Lord. That is important for you to know. The world doesn't have to live covenant because they're not covenant people. But the church, because God is a covenant God, because he is an agreement God, because this is a legal document, the Word of God is a legal document. We don't look at the Word of God as just words in a book or some religious writ, but this literally is our constitution. This is a legal document from God where covenants have been cut and established to where you and I as his sons and his daughters can know what we believe, know how we stand, know what God said he'll do in our lives. So covenants are a large, massive part of how God works within us, and that's his word. His word is our covenant. Psalms 138 verse 2 says this, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above your name. Let me say that again. God has magnified his word above his name. What does that actually mean? That means that God cannot lie. That what's in his word, he will not contradict. There's only two things that God cannot do. A lot of people tell me God can do anything. That's not true. There are two things that God cannot and will not do. Number one, God will not go against your will. Whatever your will is, God will not contradict that. God will not go against that, or else you have you no longer have free will. Well, if you don't have free will, then how can you choose to willfully love him, serve him, and obey him? It's not possible. That eliminates relationship. The other thing that God cannot do is God cannot go against his word. If God said it, it is so, because he holds his word above his name. You can bank on it that if God says it, that is exactly what's going to happen. God cannot lie. He holds his word above his name. Romans chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 says this. For what if some do not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God of no effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man be a liar. God cannot lie. This is all about covenants now. It's all about agreements. This is all about you and I coming into agreement with God. Hello, Tiffany. Hello, Isaiah. Hello, Jeannie. Hello, Larry. Hello, Aaron. Hello, Mary. Hello, Scott. Hello, Brendan. How are you? Hello, Kelly. Hello, Andrew. Hello, Harley. Hello, Scott. Janet. That's my mother. Lisa. Let me see. Curtis. Don Lewis. So hello, everybody. Welcome to Rock Solid Faith. So, God being the covenant God, when God makes a covenant, there is always a cost. There's a cost to covenants. Whenever God is going to do something, there is always going to be a cost attached to it. Why? Well, because no covenant is free. When God comes, the covenant is always sealed with a cost of blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Genesis chapter 15, verse 9 through 11 says this. So God said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And then he brought all these things to him, and he cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the side, but he did not cut the birds in two. I'm sure we've all heard the term cutting a covenant. But let me explain what that actually means. So, because there's a cost, there's always a cost when God did a covenant, what God would do is he would have two parties bring an innocent animal. Now, innocence is important. Jesus is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the earth, the Bible says. He was an innocent, sinless lamb. Jesus said, for he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be called the righteousness of God. So the two parties would bring an innocent animal. They then would cut the animal from snout all the way to tail and lay it open. So here's an animal that never did anything to anybody, never sinned, never did anything wrong, was cut in half to cut this covenant. The sides were laid, blood was all over the place, and the two people who are cutting the covenant together would walk down the center of the split of the animal. That is the cutting of a covenant. Well, why was that important? Because it showed that there was always a cost. Innocence pays the cost for a covenant. And that is where you and I are today. This is where this all cutting of the covenant came from. Blood sealed the covenant. Because it was costly, breaking a covenant was was dealt with harshly. And I think that that's something that we don't deal with a lot today. When people break covenants today, it really doesn't matter much. People don't seem to care. There really isn't a great cost when a covenant has been broken. But I'm here to tell you that with God, because God will never break his covenant, when you and I break the covenant, there are consequences to pay. Now, this is very serious to God. Consequences are things that people don't like to talk about. How about David? David, one day, he decided his army was going to war, but he decided to stay. Now, that was very abnormal. David was usually a mighty man of valor. He would be out there fighting right on the front lines and conquering and did great and mighty things for the Lord. But one time, as the king, he decided to stay as he sent his army. And he went out on his balcony, and there was a woman sunbathing naked. Her name was Bathsheba. And he called in his guy and he says, "Go get that woman. I want to lay with her." He wanted to have sex with her. Well, his servant said, no, don't you understand? That's one of your chief men, your chief army guy's wife." And he goes, "I don't care. Bring her." He brought her in. They had sex. She got pregnant. When he found out that she was pregnant, he decided to bring the chief army guy back so he could sleep with his wife and think that he got her pregnant. But that man had so much honor that he would not sleep with his wife while his men were fighting and dying out on the front lines. So he left and never slept with his wife. So now David's got a problem. David's got a woman, a married woman, pregnant. Well, he hid it as much as possible. Then Nathan the prophet came. When Nathan the prophet came, he started prophesying and he said, let's just finish here. Instead of just taking responsibility, David then sent a death notice for this chief of his. And what he did was he actually got him killed on the front lines. So he eliminated the husband. He eliminated the problem, or so it would seem. Then he took Bathsheba and he married her. But I want you to know that that was just the beginning of his problems. Because here's now he's got a woman who wasn't his wife, that he got pregnant. He murdered her husband so that he could not be embarrassed, take her in as his wife, and now they're having a baby. Nathan the prophet shows up, and he gives him a description of a man who had many sheep, yet this one man only had one sheep. And the man who had many sheep took the one sheep to himself. And David said, "That man should die." And Nathan the prophet said, "That's you." And he said, "There's a consequence for what you've done. Either there'll be a mass loss of Israelites' life, or the baby will die." And David chose that the baby would die. There was a consequence to breaking the covenant, a consequence to disobedience. We don't like to talk about disobedience today. We don't like to talk about somebody not obeying God today or breaking a covenant today. God has called us to be obedient. Come on, say it out loud. I must be obedient. If you're not going to be obedient, you're going to struggle with God. So many people want Jesus to save them from their sin, but they don't want to obey God. Somebody said to me, "Well, I don't want to go to church. I don't need to go to church." I said, "Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself as a manner of some is, especially in the last days." Jesus himself made a habit of going to the temple. So don't tell me you're not supposed to go to church. "Well, I just don't want to." Well, that's disobedience. Somebody came to me and said, well, you know, I don't really believe that tithing is for today. So I proved to them scripturally tithing's for today. And they said, well, I just simply don't want to do that. Well, that's disobedience. We like obedience as long as it fits within our category of acceptance. But that's not how a covenant works. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey, everybody shout obey. Come on, everybody online, shout obey. If I diligently obey, which means you go out of your way to make sure you obey God, the voice of the Lord, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, we love that. We quote that verse every Sunday during the offering. If I obey, I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. I'm blessed in my baskets. The blessings that I overtake. Come on, we quote this every Sunday. But we always start off with, if I obey. And the reason we do that is because that means that not everybody's going to want to obey. Just talk about finances in the church, in the kingdom of God. The average church, only 8 to 10% of the people tithe. Well, that tells me that 90% of the church don't want to obey God. Well, if they don't want to obey God, well, the fact comes down to is that they can't be shocked when they're not going to be living in the blessing. Because if you're going to break the covenant, there are consequences. If you're going to disobey, then there are consequences. Come on, we do this with our kids. You and I have all seen the children that are out there on this planet that have never been disciplined. Can I hear an amen? Undisciplined children, wow, are crazy. Remember one time we were down in Mexico. I'm down in Mexico and walking around with our pastor down there. And we went through an area where they're selling food. And I watched this child start screaming, yelling, jumping up and down at their mother, speaking Spanish. But I don't care if it was Spanish or English or French. You knew that this child was disobeying and being disrespectful to the mother. And then started hitting the mother. That is a child that was not disciplined. That is a child that was not taught obedience. And that might be cute when they're two, when your child tells you no and you chuckle at it, but that isn't funny any longer when they're 15 and bigger than you. Obedience is mandatory in the kingdom of God. It is not a suggestion. It is a demand from God. Because as a covenant God, God will always stand behind what he promises, and we must obey our part of the covenant, or else there is a covenant breach. Whenever you breach a covenant, it is no longer valid or doesn't have to be valid. Now, the Bible talks about breaking a covenant and what causes disobedience causes consequences. The same chapter, Deuteronomy 28:15. And it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord. So verse 1 and 2 talks about obeying God and the blessings that will come. But if you break the covenant by disobedience, here we go reading. But you shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all the commandments and the statutes which I command you this day, that all the curses will come upon you and overtake you. So here the Bible's saying, if you obey God, if you keep the covenant, the blessings will chase you down. The blessings will trip you up. You'll be the head and not the tail. But if you disobey, then all the curses will come upon you. And the Bible says, overtake you. That is powerful. Because God is a covenant God. His design and desire is to bless you. But if we're not going to live obedient, then we can't be shocked. We're not going to be able to apprehend the blessings, but we're going to live within the cursings. God wants to bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. But God can't bless you if you're going to break the covenant. We have responsibility. Turn to someone and say, we have responsibility. Very good. Everybody online, shout, we have. Type it in right there. We have responsibility. Somebody once said to me, well, I'm going to heaven. I love God. I said, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And they said, well, you know, I'm not really into that religion. I said, no, not religion stuff. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Well, no, I haven't done that. I said, then you're not going to heaven. Well, how dare you tell me I'm a good person. I'm a sincere person. Listen, sincerity does not open a covenant. Sincerity does not open the promises. A covenant is created by two. Christ paid the price through the blood that he shed on Calvary. Somebody's got to pay for the sin. And the innocent paid for the sin. And the only way to enter into a covenant with God is that he is God and we are not. That we are called to obey. And when we obey him, God blesses us. You see, this is the kingdom mentality. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. A king always has a kingdom. A kingdom is always established on a constitution. Laws come out of the constitution. And out of the constitution come the people. And the people that are his kingdom, the job of the king is to make sure that they're taken care of, making sure that they're blessed, making sure that they have everything they need, making sure that they're loved, making sure that they're healthy. That's the job of the king. But if you and I are breaching or breaking the covenant, then we are lawbreakers. What happens to lawbreakers? Well, they go to jail. We have prisons. In our own town, we have two max prisons. Well, why are there prisons? Because people are lawbreakers. If you are part of the kingdom of God, God has called you to not break the law, but keep the law. And when you and I have a covenant with God, called the new covenant now, but with every covenant that God has cut, every single, we're going to explain them next week, but with every covenant that God has cut, there is God and us. And if we break our part, we can't be shocked when we don't live in the blessing. We must live in the blessing. We must live within the principles. We must live within the life of obedience. Everybody write down for me. Write obedience right now group chat or whatever it is called. Live. Write obedience. Now, everybody say this. There are two types of covenants. You have what's called a conditional covenant and an unconditional covenant. Now, an unconditional covenant means it doesn't matter what you do. God will always keep his part. We'll just throw one out at you until we hit next week. Noah, or the Noahic covenant, is unconditional. What does that mean? How many of you have ever seen a rainbow? Everybody's ever seen a rainbow. We've all seen rainbows. What's a rainbow? According to the covenant of God, the rainbow is the promise that God will never flood the whole earth again. Well, saved or unsaved, Christian or unchristian, you've seen a rainbow. That means that's unconditional. That covenant is unconditional, and saved or unsaved, God will always produce that. The Bible also says in the Noahic covenant, seed time and harvest will never pass away. The seasons will not pass away. So we see seasons, Christian or unchristian. That's unconditional. So when God does an unconditional promise or an unconditional covenant, it means whether you're saved or unsaved, you get to participate with that. You get to enjoy that. That is God's blessing upon the earth. But then there's another kind of covenant called a conditional covenant, where both parties have a part in fulfilling what has to be done. If one part isn't kept, if there's disobedience in one area, then the covenant is breached. The word breach is simple. It simply means it's a legal duty. Failure to do something that is required in a contract. Whenever you break the contract with God, whenever you breach the contract with God, it literally breaks the contract. But I thank God for Jesus. Can I hear an amen? I thank God for Jesus. Jesus is the mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. I thank God for Jesus. Why? Because Jesus said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you shall be saved. That's salvation. But then after salvation, if you break the contract or break the covenant by a level of disobedience and you repent before the Lord, now repentance, godly sorrow produces repentance. When you repent, he says, if you confess, or if you speak your sins, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he will wash your sins away and make you new, reestablishing that covenant. God loves to reestablish covenants. Now, I don't know if you've ever said amen before, but you have got to say amen that God loves to reestablish covenants. Why? Because man has broke all of them. How many here have ever sinned? Everybody online, how many here have ever sinned once? How many here have ever sinned twice? How many have ever sinned three times? Listen, we've all sinned. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have all breached the covenant. Even after salvation, even after accepting Christ as our Savior, even though we can live without sin. We talked about it last week with the trichotomy of man. We don't have to sin, we choose to sin. And even when we choose to sin and we breach the covenant, we break the covenant. I love the fact that Jesus loves us so much that he said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll throw your sin as far as the east of the west and he'll remember it no more. He'll never throw it in your face again. He'll never hold it over your head. Once you're forgiven, you're forgiven. I love that part about who Jesus is. I love that part about the reestablishment of a covenant. Genesis chapter 9, verse 12 through 15 says this, and God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you. This is where you and I have that part. God, well, I want you to know, he will never break his part of the covenant. Ever. If God said it, he'll never go against it. If God declared the covenant, that is what it is. You and I can have this confidence. You and I can have this settling in our heart. This is why knowing the word of God is so important. This is why this class is so important. That's why understanding covenants is so important. Because when you understand the covenant that you have, it is not about trying to touch and tug the heart of God. It's about a legal matter standing before a righteous judge. As your lawyer, Christ Jesus, our advocate, goes before the Father on your behalf, and as the Holy Ghost, as we even pray in the Holy Spirit, brings it before Christ, this is a legal process. This is a legal principle. This is the kingdom of God, and our King, who is righteous, will always stand behind his part of the covenant. That is the awesome part of the God we serve. Deuteronomy 7:9 says this, therefore know that the Lord our God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant. God keeps his covenant. Come on, say it with me. God keeps his covenant. God will not turn against his covenant. Oh, let me finish reading. And mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. So it says here very clearly that God is faithful who keeps covenant. But we have the job of obeying the commandments. If we don't obey, we can't be shocked when we're not going to get the benefits of the covenant. So many people want to live their way of life, live their way of sin, yet expect God to bless them. It's ludicrous. It's not going to happen. It's not the reality of how God works. You can't live like hell. You can't serve Satan and get God's blessing. Somebody once said to me, well, God understands me. I don't care if God understands you or not. If you're not going to obey God, you're not getting the blessing of the covenant. The wages of sin is death. Period. I don't see another option there besides the gift of God that Christ gave through Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. You can't live like hell and expect that you're going to enjoy heaven. You can't do whatever you want and think that God's going to let you through the gate. We must obey. Turn to someone and say, obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. He will always strive to give man the ability to respond to his covenant. He loves us so much that he even created new covenants to keep the heart of man. Do you realize that when Adam and Eve sinned and they broke the covenant that God had with them in the garden, God could have started all over. Boom, done, start over. We need a new beginning here. No, what did God do? Created a new covenant. When they broke that one, he created a new covenant. When they broke that one, he created a new covenant. Finally, through Jesus, he created a new covenant. Why? Because God loves you. God is desperate for you. Jesus so desires for you to know him, to walk with him. God didn't create angels. You and I as angels. He created us, in his image, so that you and I can have a relationship that's free and willing and desirable. But yet in every relationship, listen, I can't do whatever I want to do to my wife and think that she's going to love me. What do you mean? I had this guy. He went out and committed adultery multiple times. Not once, not twice, not three times. Multiple times committed adultery. And then he got mad at his wife when she divorced him. What? Well, she's supposed to forgive. Listen, you can't keep your pants up. You got a part in this covenant. We all have a part in the covenant. God keeps his. Yea and amen. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away. If God said it, it is. Period. Yea. Done. Completed. God will not break the covenant. So the only one who breaks covenant is man. We break covenant, but God so desperately loves us that even when we break a covenant, he gives us opportunity to come back. He gives us opportunity to repent. He gives us opportunity to be restored. He gives us opportunity to be reestablished in the covenant that he cut for us because he desires desperately that we will know him, walk with him, talk with him, have a relationship with him. He is an awesome God. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 through 12, I quoted portions of it. But now he's obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as he is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then there would be no place would have to be sought for a second one. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day when they took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant. Who didn't continue? They didn't continue. And I disregarded them, said the Lord. For this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel from those days, says the Lord, that I'll put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, for the least of them to the greatest of them, for I will be merciful to their unrighteous and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So God is desperately after to constantly reestablish this covenant so we can have a relationship, I didn't say religion, a relationship with him. So we can walk with him and talk with him. What Adam and Eve lost in the garden, God wants to reestablish with us. And he has, thank God for Jesus. Amen. Everybody says, thank God for Jesus. Everybody online, write down in there, thank God for Jesus. Without Jesus, we would not have a relationship with God, especially if you're a Gentile. Come on now. If you're a Gentile, you shouldn't even have had an opportunity. But God, according to the word of the Lord, because the Jews rejected Christ, they rejected the Messiah. The Bible says that he then grafted us in. We now have opportunity to be part of the vine. We have the opportunity now to be saved. Thank God for Jesus. We've got to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. The Bible says, how shall we neglect so great a salvation? Listen, if God would cut off the Jew, how wouldn't he not cut off the Gentile who rejected and disobeyed? So we must learn to be obedient. Obedience is so important. Not obedient to where obedience to what you want. Remember when you were a kid? You tried to get away with as much as you could. Come on now. You tried to get away with as much as you could. And when you got caught, you tried to blame somebody else. I call it the Adam and Eve syndrome. When God caught Adam and Eve in the garden, hiding, he said, Adam, what did you do? He said, the woman you gave me made me do it. And then she turned and blamed the devil. Listen, we love to blame everybody, but the fact is that if we are sinning, we choose to sin. If we're breaking the covenant, we choose to break the covenant. We've got to make a decision in our heart. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We've got to learn to obey God because obeying God keeps the covenant flowing. So there are different covenants. We're going to cover them real quickly. You ready? I know that, there is no way we're going to cover all of those well. So why don't we do this? We're going to end tonight. I know it's early, but I got nobody talking back to me, which usually makes me go to 8:30. So tonight, we're going to start covering next week these covenants, and then we're going to step into the new covenant. What you've got to really know is the new covenant. You've got to understand clearly the new covenant. Why? Because that's the covenant we're living in right now. So, thank you for watching. Now, this is what we want to do, and I want you to be aware. I'm sorry? Yep, I already did. I'm going to announce it again. My wife is sitting on the second row. She's coaching me. I just want to say thank you to my dear wife, Rhonda, for coaching me through this. Thank you, dear wife. And that is this. This week, or next, and as well as next, Monday through Thursday, we are going to be at 7 o'clock from 7 to 8. For those who can't make it to the house, we're going to be sharing with you. We just got a new TV set all ready and prepared for this whole next few weeks. And so we're going to be sitting down and sharing with you what's on our heart, what God is sharing with us about what God wants to do in your life and the house and where Jesus is taking us. So it's going to be a great time. So meet us 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, Monday through Thursday, right here on Facebook Live. Also, moms and dads, great news for you. Pastor Aaron, our children's pastor, is going to be doing a children's program every day, Monday through Thursday, from noon to 1 for your kids. I know, they're home from school. But we're going to have like a little mini VBS right in your home, right available for you on Facebook Live with Pastor Aaron and his team so that you are going to enjoy that. What's that, dear? Starting tomorrow, so make sure you get your kids to Facebook Live, His Tabernacle, tomorrow at noon with Pastor Aaron. It's going to be awesome. Some of you are asking, are we having church on Sunday? Yes, at this point, we are definitely 100% having church on Sunday. The only time that will change, because there are no restrictions to church, according to our governor, we called the office yesterday 3 times, and there are no restrictions on church, so we can meet on Sunday. But if you choose not to be there on Sunday, that's okay, no judgment. You can stay home, watch on live stream, and be participating with the body of Christ until all of this foolishness, the coronavirus, we curse it in the name of Jesus. The virus has no right in the house of God, has no right on a child of God. Our lot, our promise, our covenant that Jesus cut with us is that our bodies are healed in Jesus' name. And we curse the disease. We curse the virus. We command if it touches your body, it dries up and dies. We command every germ that's ungodly to dry up and die. We curse every disease at its root in the name of Jesus. And we declare, he whom the Son set free is free indeed. But on Sunday, if you feel that you can't be here, maybe you're mature and you're concerned about your health, we're good with that. We're not, no judgment in any way, shape, or form. Just make sure you're online as part of the family. When all this clears up, we're believing God very, very quickly. We'll all be back in the house and having a great old time in Jesus' name. But until then, we're going to have every Monday through Thursday, 7 to 8 o'clock with Pastor Rhonda and I. Every noon to 1 for your children until they get back with school. Pastor Aaron is going to be with his team having a little VBS every Monday through Thursday from noon to 1, Facebook Live. They're going to have a great time. Now, another part we got to pay attention to is the kingdom of God still needs to be funded. Can I hear an amen? Still costs money. Right now, the lights are on. We have TV cameras running. Our internet is working. All of this costs money. Just because you're not in the house doesn't mean that giving stops. Amen. So there are multiple ways to give. You can give online. You can go to histabernacle.com, give online. You can also text to give. I believe they're going to be having that up for you to be able to see how to text to give. And until all of this clears up, I pray you're all going to be faithful. In fact, I'm believing God that the tithes and offerings aren't going to go down. They're going to go up. Can I hear an amen? And God's going to bless us abundantly above all we could even ask or imagine, that the house is going to flourish and increase. Now, we got really cool stuff happening tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're actually going to start showing, my wife and I cut a new TV commercial for our community. And Ben, I'm not sure, can you show that online right now? Do you have that ability? In 2 minutes? I can talk for 2 minutes. Actually, I'm going to bring my wife up here. She's going to talk for 2 minutes. Come here, honey. Can you all give Pastor Rhonda a hand clap as she comes up here? Amen. My wife can definitely talk for 2 minutes. Go ahead, honey. Talk.
I can talk for 2 minutes. Oh, man. Well, we're going to be with you. Oh, there we go. I have a microphone. I don't usually need one, but probably for live stream, you won't be able to hear me all the way in your home from here. So I guess I'll use the mic tonight. We're just so excited to be with you every night, Monday through Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m., through this whole time. You know, social isolation is a horrible
thing. It's horrible.
But thank God for technology and our technology team. We have a solid plan in place so that we remain connected through this whole time and excited about what God is doing. Listen to me. There is exciting things happening in the world today and in the world of the church and in the kingdom. God is still moving. He's still alive and he is still active in this place and he in your homes, in your families, in your jobs. I mean, just don't even participate with fear.
I don't know.
The word of God says, rejoice always.
And again, I say rejoice.
So I don't know. I'm rejoicing in this time.
I guess it's easier if your name is Joyce.
Rejoice, yes. I know a few Joyces.
Me too.
Wonderful people, actually, godly women. we're excited to be on with you. I'm not going to keep going on with that rant about how excited I am. I'm going to share with you guys tomorrow night how excited I am. Listen, we've got to look at everything through our God lens.
Now, listen, we also want to encourage people to be soul winners during this time. People are very sensitive. They're listening. My mom was out today and was able to witness to somebody and invite them out. They're open. Your friends are open now because they know something's going on. Come on now. People are in fear. They're in panic. This is the time to share the gospel with your friends and your family. Get them saved. Get them to the house of God on Sunday.
The goodness of God. Sharing the goodness of God. Oh, we're ready
for
our
Sheets.
Video. Okay, we're going to go.
We are ready? Okay, this is the new commercial that's going to start showing tomorrow on NBC, ABC, and CBS.
My name is Pastor Michael Spencer, and this is my beautiful wife, Rhonda. We're the senior pastors of His Tabernacle Family Church.
In this season where fear seems to be gripping so many people, we have a verse to share, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, and trust in the Lord.
Can we start that over, guys?
Peace to your life, peace to your body. My name is Pastor Michael Spencer, and this is my beautiful wife, Rhonda. We're the senior pastors of His Tabernacle Family Church.
In this season where fear seems to be gripping so many people, we have a verse to share, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, and trust in the Lord.
In the name of Jesus, peace to your life, peace to your body, peace to your family, peace to your job. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We love you, and we're praying for you at His Tabernacle.
You probably got a little shot of us in there staring at the screen because I know that there's a lag. That I think it is replaying right now. I'm not sure if you can hear us or if you can hear the video, But that's okay. This is what we are broadcasting as a commercial to our community.
Yes.
So just making sure we're using this time to share peace. And we're going to get off here tonight. And we're excited to be back with you tomorrow night and Thursday night. And then again on Sunday morning. This is a time for us to connect better than we've ever connected before. So we'll be back here tomorrow night at 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
In our brand new set. You'll be able to join us. It's beautiful. You'll get to see that too. So join us tomorrow night, 7 to 8 p.m.
Great. I want to pray for a few people that are dealing with illness. There's a young man named Cal. His relatives come to the house. He doesn't live even in this state. But we speak right now over Cal.
Yes.
Remember, in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, Jesus spoke because he knew he had authority.
Yes.
And he bound disease and sickness.
Hallelujah.
Right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak to Cal's body. Yes. I curse right now this cancer that's trying to come on him. You foul disease, you spirit of disease.
Yes.
I command right now the spirit of cancer, you foul demon, come off him in Jesus' name. You are cursed at your root. You must come out in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
God, I declare even over, I know a man in this house that's been diagnosed with cancer. I speak to you right now. I speak to that right now. And I curse right now that devil that's given life to that cancer. I command you now to loose the child of God in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
God, we give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to remind you, to be a giver. So tonight, I'd love to see giving higher than it's ever been before right here online.
Absolutely.
You can go to histabernacle.com right on our website, and you can give right there. Or if you know how to text and give, text to give, do that as well. It's a great time to tithe, great time to seed. I can't wait to tell you what you were able to seed into the bishop. I'll tell you that on Sunday, not tonight. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Now, moms and dads, don't forget, tomorrow at noon to 1 with Pastor Aaron, he's going to be doing a mini
VBS
with your kids. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7. Good numbers.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yep, that's really good.